Mia.
Lucas.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks.
You are the first female moron on this podcast. How does that feel?
Feels pretty great.
You're breaking barriers.
I am.
Just left and right.
That glass ceiling shattered for me.
Completely gone.
This room? If only there were glass ceiling. It'd be shattering.
There's right glass now. Everything else. Glass walls, you know. Still in the new studio downstairs. Jared's here as well. What's up, Jared?
How's it going?
More.
We're doing great. Great start to the podcast. Back to you.
Everybody always blames the host for a poor start, and you know what? That could have been you guys' fault as well. Actually, I think it's a great start.
I think that was a collective effort for a great start right there.
Yeah. No. Okay. So we got Mia, Solari.
Yep.
McDoolin.
You got it.
And the McDoolin is important to me because one of my good friends, Max McDoolin, that's your brother.
Correct.
Now you're on the podcast talking about, well, just we're going to get into a range of things, but we're excited to have you on. You are a freshman here at Ohio University.
I am.
How's that been?
Interesting.
Interesting?
This semester's a lot better than last.
Well, I think that most people would say that. I think second semester is a little easier.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially you were in a unique situation coming in.
Yeah, for sure. I had no clue I was going to be here this year.
Well, just tell us what was that all about?
So I have always, like, ever since I moved from Texas, like, before my freshman year, I've always been ahead credit-wise. So, like, my freshman year in high school.
Is that just because you took more classes, or did Texas have, like, harder classes?
The curriculum is different in Texas. You start taking languages, like, for high school credit earlier. You have the option for algebra your eighth grade year, which they're integrating, especially into the Catholic schools in Ohio, but... they weren't quite there yet. So I was a year ahead in math. I was a year ahead in social studies. My sophomore year, I ended up skipping integrated science and just went to honors chemistry instead. And at some points, I was taking two maths or two sciences. Just my schedule was kind of rigorous, but then also Texas's curriculum helped with that. But
so all that ended in you graduating high school a year early.
Oh, yeah, a full calendar year early. But I was... really on the fence about it for a while, and so were like my parents, and then I like basically didn't have any friends at my high school. My parents were like, okay, she can graduate. So I did online school, and I just like went to Florida a lot, and like I went to Texas and like Oklahoma, and like it was nice because I did online school, so I was able to like travel and do it at the same time anywhere I had internet. So like it was a cool experience, like graduating a year early and not having a traditional like senior or junior year at all. Like,
what was that like in terms of graduation party and stuff like that? Was everybody so, like, wait a minute, isn't this a year early?
Yeah, so especially because I left Baden, my like Catholic school, which is really small, so everybody knows each other, and I like left that, I didn't really talk to anybody, and then it was my graduation party and my graduation were the same thing because I was homeschooled. So, like, some people showed up early, like, to be a part of the graduation ceremony. Like, we got, like, chairs. Like, my grandparents have, like, this porch, like, deck thing. And, like, my parents said some stuff. I had a little speech. And then, like, diploma from a hat, you know. And then it was just, like, a regular grad party from there. But, yeah, my graduation was my grad party.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool dynamic.
So you didn't have to do the walking thing and
There's no music. Like
it's overrated.
Yeah,
especially in high school.
And I thought it was cool. Like I was able to just to like say what I wanted to say, like to like my family and friends about high school and about how I felt about graduating. Like it was a lot more personal, I think, for me and for everybody that was there, like at my graduation, more so than if they went to a graduation where 120 other kids graduated too. Or Max's graduation, where like 700 other kids graduated. Except for Max, you know, got to say a speech. But
well, you know Max is going to find a way to say a speech. That's what Max is all about.
Yeah, wasn't part of student government until senior year and then one senior class president.
Just to give the speech.
Yeah.
Probably.
Well,
then you get here, right? And yeah. And that first semester had to have been just insanely difficult. I couldn't even imagine. It's difficult for everybody, but it's not... as difficult if you went 4 years of high school. You're just another year.
Yeah, and I think even being prepared for it, like you go into your senior year, like this is my last year. For me, I was in limbo my entire first semester. Like, and then I, even when I switched to online school, I had to get permission from my principal to graduate a year early. And that took forever. Like, I didn't know that I was graduating early until like the second week of April. So I literally had like a month and a half where I was actually a senior. The rest of the time I was basically just a junior.
Yeah, so that you're just not sure. So you didn't really get that prep time. Yeah. So it was like, oh my God, I'm graduating. Graduate. Bobcat student orientation. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, it really was. And even at my like student orientation, that was me deciding if I was really going to come here or not. I had already like said that I was coming here, accepted my scholarships, like whatever. And then I got here and I had my orientation and I was like, yeah, I want to come here. And it was literally, it was like 1 week after my graduation party. So I like, there was this week, like, especially it was weird at my graduation party because they're like, where are you going to school? And I was like, I still had up in the air if I was going to go to Oklahoma at ORU. Like, I hadn't accepted or denied there yet. I had accepted here, but I still wasn't sure. So like, it was a really hard question to answer. Like, everybody else is like, oh, I'm going here, I'm studying this. And I was like, I don't know. Like,
well, one OU or the other, right?
Yeah, well, ORU.
ORU? Oklahoma what?
No, it's Oral Roberts.
Oral Roberts in Oklahoma. Okay, I know Oral Roberts.
In Tulsa. Worst party school in America. 3 years running.
Worst? They do a worst rankings?
They do a worst rankings. They are worst.
Wait, worst as in, like, their parties are just
They have trash. No parties. They have no parties. They are super Christian. Like, I used to be holiness, so I didn't believe in, like, partying, explicit music, explicit movies, just like all of that stuff, like the use of any substance at all, even if you're of age, was like seen as a sin. And that's the way it was at that school too. So girls weren't allowed in guys' dorms. It was so small that there was one dorm hall for all the freshman girls and one dorm hall for all the freshman guys. And it was literally just like being in Catholic high school when I visited there. And I was like, no,
I wouldn't have either.
And it's 13 hours away. Like,
yeah. Here, like, you have the security home. You have a history of
I have friends family. Here and, like, family, like, that were built in, like, that were from home, that were here. Or that I met through my siblings that went here.
Yeah.
AEU.
Exactly.
AEIOU.
We got vowels on
we
the
got
podcast.
Vowels. Have you seen that thing where it's like, I don't think I understood the assignment. And it's like, my wife, just read the vowels that you wrote. A-E-I-O-U. Like, yes.
No, vowels. I've heard some good bars about that, Jared. You know, vowels.
Really, have you?
Out yeah. on the prowls.
Give us some examples.
Oh, now you put me on the spot.
So tough.
Hold on, I've got it.
He's got
it's,
it.
It's oh no. Ow. Miss Lady, I know my vowels, even though I'm not that articulate.
Didn't even that. Rhyme.
That's not well. It rhymes with the other words that are, but I don't want to go through the whole rap.
Right.
Because then I would.
Who said that? Who was that?
God, I don't know either. It fronts a song on Mansions, the album with Black Bear and Mike Posner, but it's neither of them. So gotcha. It's one of the featured artists in there. I'd know that whole rap if we played it, but we're not going to do that right now.
We might feature it on a later segment. But
later yeah. segment.
A later segment of the podcast.
Right.
You know, later, you know, like 10:30 when things get cut loose.
Right.
We're staying here 3 hours, by the way. I'm just kidding. I'm just messing around.
I was like, I don't have time anybody, for that.
Yeah, I don't have time.
I really don't have time for that.
If anybody had time to watch us all talk for 3 straight hours.
I think I have a big enough fan base.
You need to get a hobby.
Mia says she has a big enough fan base. I believe that. But let's talk about something serious.
All right.
Mental health. Right? This is yeah. something that's important to you.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to let you talk about why it's important to you, and then we can just go off from there.
Yeah. Mental health has always been really important for me, even before a lot of things that, like, recently had light shed on them. Just, I've had a lot of family members struggle with mental health, a lot of friends, you know, history of substance abuse, stuff like that. And I always knew, like, I kind of did, like, oh, I have anxiety, oh, I am depressed, but I didn't know what to do about it. And I got put in therapy and stuff like that. I never got a diagnosis. But this summer, I found out that I have bipolar 2, which, for people that don't know what that is, it's very similar to bipolar 1, except for we have hypomania instead of mania. Our mania is a lot shorter, but a lot more intense.
So explain what mania is to people.
So mania is, they describe bipolar as like peaks and valleys. And your peaks are mania, where you are highly motivated, you have high energy, your confidence is through the roof, you're very sociable, you just are very determined. And you, but also what comes with that is a lot of anxiety, a lot of, most people are insomniacs at that point. And
it's like your brain's working in sixth gear.
Yeah, you're just going really, really fast. And then as your mania progresses, it usually has a dropping point where you become so, like, you're oblivious to everything else and you almost feel invincible that you start making brash decisions. And, like, some of them can be good and, like, life-changing, but a lot of them are very bad. And then at the end of that, you, with people with bipolar 2, drop off really fast and go into a depressive state where you're sad, you feel hopeless. A lot of people at that switching point is when they have a lot of, you have a lot of suicide attempts or you see a lot of self-harm when you are drastically switching from everything's amazing, I love life, to wow, this is terrible and I'm so alone. Like, it's just very hard. But it's really cool because knowing my diagnosis, I mean, I also have anxiety and depression and insomnia. And depending on if I'm in mania or a depressive state, I'll have ADD or OCD. It's like very crazy. But knowing what I have has made life so much easier because it's not like what is wrong with me. It's like, this is what's wrong with me. This is what's going on in my body. This is why I'm feeling this way. This is why I'm reacting this way. This is how I can deal with it. And then you add in medicine. It really is a game changer for a lot of people to have medicine because it is such a chemical thing. Because there are some people that go through seasonal depression, like seasonal affective disorder. There are people that lose a loved one and they go into depression. But for people
Depression can be a normal reaction to
something. Yeah, it definitely can.
And it's not something that always is needed to be cured by medicine or there's something that can't be.
No, and even people can be on medicine for a short period of time when they're depressed, you know, for a month, you know, slowly get on it, slowly get off it as they're going through this time. But for people with more severe diagnosis, like bipolar disorders 1 and 2, borderline personality disorder, people that, you know, go into psychosis, none of those things have a cure. Those are things that most people are medicated their entire lives. Most people seek help their entire lives. It puts you on like the disability list, like even when you apply for a job, like it'll be like, do you have any of the following which qualify you as a disability? If you have a mood disorder, you check that box. There are people that don't work and they get $700 every month because they're on disability because of their bipolar disorder or their personality disorder.
Well, it's debilitating. I think that that's...
It is. And it's fair, especially because some people can only work part-time because of the way that it's affecting them. And that $700 is really what helps them make rent, be able to pay their utilities, be able to have a cell phone bill while they're working part-time. And I know people that are the exact same way with, like, my friend's mom has MS, so she only works part-time. Or, like, around the holidays, she'll work more, but other than that, she's living off of disability.
Yeah. But what do you say to people that hear this? And just, it's just so hard to believe. Until you're around somebody that has... especially bipolar, it's just hard to believe that that's a thing. It's just like, this is what the devils would say in this situation. Like, it's our younger generation. We look at how this has completely risen. How many people are just making it up? How many people just want the drugs? How many people just don't want to work and say that they have, oh, I get sad sometimes. Like, people really don't understand what it is.
Yeah, no, there is a big misunderstanding, especially with mental health. And especially a lot of invisible disabilities, like as people call them. One in 10 Americans has one, a legal disability that is not visible to the human eye in any way. Unless, of course, you spend time with them. And yeah, it is hard to believe. A lot of people who have mood disorders by their friends or their family are seen as liars, because one day you're perfectly fine and then the next day you're like, oh, this is terrible. Or you're trying to cover up that you were in mania or that you were in a depressive episode. And it's hard to believe, like, oh, them cutting me off from their life was a symptom of this. And it's like, yes, it did have gravity in your life. Like, yes, that they hurt you and they know that they hurt you, but they really, in a lot of ways, that's not how they would normally react. Like, they are chemically a different person almost. That's why we have, why we call it borderline personality disorder as well, because they dissociate a lot and they don't believe the things that they've done. So then they're seen as a liar. So then, yeah, it is hard to have anybody support you when you don't know what you're actually doing.
So do you think that your understanding and your intelligence, obviously, of your diagnosis has helped you maintain relationships a little bit better? Because you're better, you can kind of, you see it coming, you can combat this false notion that, oh, they're going to think that I'm a liar, things like that.
Yeah, I think knowing my diagnosis has made me more honest, because then I'm like, okay, if I tell somebody what's going on, then we're going to be able to find out a reason why. It's not just going to be like, I don't know. Like, if you, there's a lot of things that people do with like mental disabilities that people just don't understand. Like, even when it comes to like OCD, they're like, oh, why do they have to do that 20 times? It's like, you don't understand it. But in their head, that's the only thing that they can actually do. So it's not a matter of like, you can only understand things to a personal level. So I feel like a lot of people don't understand like mood changes and don't understand real anxiety and don't understand real depression, because it's only as real as it is to them. It's only as real as, oh, like whenever this happens to me, I get a lot more irritable and my mood switches faster. When I'm about to go into a test, I get really anxious. I get butterflies in my stomach. That's the only extent that they have to mood change and to anxiety. And, oh, when this happened, I was really sad. And that's the only extent that they know personally experiencing
any of that. Yeah, but those things are normal.
No, they're very normal. But the thing is, a lot of people, that is the extent that they can feel for those things. So the idea that it's so intense for somebody else seems fictional, because to you, that doesn't exist in your field of feeling.
Well, and what a good example for this is, so you're disabled, technically, right, by the letter of the law. I don't consider you that, but by the letter of the law, you are.
Right.
My grandpa is as well, but he has no hands, right? And that's easy for people to see. I could be like, yo, my grandpa's disabled, look at him. And then they'll be like, oh, yeah, no, that makes sense. But it's unfair, just because we don't understand something, to say that it's not real or it doesn't exist or it's not applicable or it's something that shouldn't be taken completely seriously.
Right.
Because when you know people with disabilities that are based in the brain's chemistry, it's a body part just like everything else. See, the unfortunate thing about us is that the brain named itself, which means the brain is not very good at looking in on itself. It's not very good at that at all.
That's true.
Because the brain's good at looking at a leg and dissecting a leg and how that works. And we've been very good at that for a long time, even back in the Renaissance era. Like, you know, there was some really weird manners to figure things out, but we were figuring things out about the human body. Now, they were wrong in a lot, but they were right in a lot, too. They were figuring things out. We have just started to understand the human brain. And it's very actually terrifying how little we actually know about the brain, even though we know a ton. We know a bunch. But if we knew everything about the brain, bipolar 2 and things like that, they'd be curable. They'd be things that we could combat with more than just changing around the chemicals and elevating mood and trying to, you know, it's basically we're, instead of fixing the house, we're covering it up with tape.
Yeah, but in another way, like, especially working with a lot of mental health specialists, they all say what we're trying to do is create new, like, brain pathways. Because you have, like, impulse. Like, if you have made something a habit, whether it be good or bad, something happens, your immediate reaction goes to this. And say it is, like, self-harm or abusing a drug or, you know, literally, like, staying up and reading a book. Something like that. That's your immediate reaction. And if it's something bad for you, what you want to try and do is change that. So something happens, you give yourself, that's where coping mechanisms come in and where triggering comes in. Like, I'm triggered, so instead of doing something bad, I'm going to do something good. And it's rewiring those impulses. So it's not just a medicine thing. They actually have. Yeah. You work with speech therapists. You work with, you know, there's cognitive behavior goes into it. A lot of it is, and there's recreational therapy and all of these different things, because they know that you can't just take a pill and be happy, that you have to work through it, and you have to work through a lot of your things. It's just like physical therapy for the brain.
Yeah,
like,
but we're just starting. So the medical community you're talking about does understand a lot, but even though our knowledge, you know this about the brain, there's so much we still have yet to figure out, but we do know enough to really help people. But that has not spread through popular culture yet. It's getting better. It's getting better year by year. But do you know how long people have known what to do when you break your leg if you're out in the wilderness? Like, yo, don't move it. Like, splint it up. It'll heal on its own. Right? People can kind of figure that out. The brain somewhat understands it. But people don't get that, what you just said. People don't understand that you have to change behaviors. People don't understand that you carve out momentum in life, that the brain is about repetition. The brain is about rhythm. And if you get into bad rhythms and bad repetitions, that throws everything off. People just don't know that. It's hard for them to enact in their own lives. And that's why we see this mass explosion of depression in this country that's beyond just cases like yours, which is about really just faulty brain chemistry, right? There are people who literally have just reacted so poorly to so many different circumstances in their life that their brain has, like you said, created so many negative neural pathways that they experience this very real thing of depression. It's very real, but it can be a lot of times self-created by, not necessarily even self-created, but life-created, right? It's not, you don't catch it like a cold. It's it's kind of built in and it kind
of
happens.
And it also, a lot of people will have a bigger tendency for depression or psychosis or anxiety or a lot of different things, and then there's a tipping point in their life where it's triggered, like whether someone else around them is experiencing something, they lose somebody, or like you've said, like creating a habit, like becoming an addict can actually increase your chances of having those things. Most of them are genetic. Most of them are, like, say you're 20 and you've never experienced anything like in the mood, like, disorder realm, but then you get addicted to something, then your chances of it popping up actually become higher, and it does have to do with your genetics. It's embedded in your genetics, and something else triggers it and allows it to come out in a way. So there are a lot of people that genetically should technically be depressed or have a mood disorder, but they're not, because they had a very good environment. And there's a lot of people, if it's not severe chemical imbalance, like it's not super severe, because like I had a pretty good childhood, like I, you know, like I had a lot of good things, I had a good family, I had a good support system, but I still had a very like debilitating disorder. And there are some people that, I don't want to say they can just ignore it, but they have a lot that keeps them moving, and they have that support that they've never had a stumble that triggers something like that in them.
What do you think of this affluenza thing? Have you heard about this? To where there are kids, they have a perfect childhood, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
There's really nothing tangibly wrong with them or their lives.
Right.
And, you know, they're just horrible cases of them committing suicide at age 14, at age 15. And, and it just, and this, and the theory of it is that sometimes life can be so easy, so simple, that the brain craves so much more complexity, conflict, that it just, and then it'll create its own conflict and things that really don't matter, like social media, and things that are really just not tangible. And there aren't things that can be solved by action. They're just kind of there. And it's just leading these kids down this very dark path when they do have everything. It's like, it's almost, you've got, wow, horrific situation. Then you've got, wow, amazing, comfortable situation. And I feel like the brain doesn't work well in either of those.
Yeah, I think there is a crave for to feel something, and that is why a lot of people that have the feeling of numbness or lack thereof of feelings have breakdowns, because it's like, I don't feel super happy, but I also don't feel super sad. And in your case, like that you just brought up, like everything's perfect. If everything's perfect, you don't know how perfect it is. Like, you really don't. So one bad thing happens, or something that you've put more gravity in than another person in another situation that has something greater to think about. This is your greatest thing to think about. This is the most important thing to you, and it goes wrong and everything else is perfect. That can be a tipping point for people. And also biologically and in the chemistry of the brain, we have seen basically since the beginning of time humans killing themselves, which is insane. Because there is not a lot of other mammals that have a tendency to end their own existence. It's all survival. But we have gotten to a point where survival isn't the same definition. It's not find food, find shelter, find water. It's, we've gone beyond those things.
Yeah. It's something that I often say. It's that the brain needs stress. It's evolutionary, right? We are programmed to be stressed in some way.
To work towards something. Because if you have nothing to work towards, you're not existing. You don't have a real purpose in your life at all.
We use stress very negatively, right? You got to eliminate stress. No. You can never eliminate stress. Ever. And if you somehow find a way to do, you've elevated beyond a human being. Like, stress is whatever in your life matters to you that you're trying to achieve, that you go to the day-to-day, right? And then when we look back on life, everything looks like it was cheery because we forget the small little things that weren't really that stressful. Like, oh, I've got a test tomorrow. I've got this. This is making me really stressed out. But you look back 20 years later, you're like, oh, I had a great time at college. Life sucks now. Right? You notice people are always like, life sucks now. Life sucks now. Oh, you don't want to be me. Oh, I wish I could go back there. I wish I could go back to elementary school. Right? I wish I could go back. I think that's such a shallow, it's not understanding that you will always be stressed. It's how you control that stress.
Yeah.
It's how you, I don't know, take care of it in some sort of way. Allow it to be in your life and let it motivate you.
Yeah, well, you even see, like, in really stupid things like that make you mad. Like, there's, like, the Beverly Hills brat who, like, she was on, like, Dr. Phil. And she, like, she had been getting $5,000 a month. And then from her mom, just as like allowance, she's like 15.
$5,000 a month.
Are you kidding? And she orders her own food.
Dude, I thought I had fun.
She Ubers everywhere. Yeah, and then her mom was like, "I'm cutting it down to $1,000." And this girl is literally crying and screaming because she's getting $4,000 less, but she's still getting $1,000 for free. And, like, she's like, no, I can't get a job, but I need this money. And, like, in her mind, it's like other people are stressed out. Like, how am I going to pay for school? What am I going to do? She's just like, how am I going to convince my mom to give me this money that she's been giving me my entire life? And that is so stressful for her. That is the most stressful thing in her life. But I hear that, and I'm like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Because I'm not in her shoes at all. But that's still a stressful situation for her.
So is the solution to this a wider perspective? Is the solution to this just understanding where you actually stand in the world? Like, and our parents told us this all the time growing up. I'm sure everybody's heard this. Kids in Africa don't have food, right? Yeah. Right.
You, I feel like that's kind of that. Racist.
Yeah,
like,
no, it's definitely,
like, it's definitely racist, a very racist but it's, thing.
Well, because, like, one, the reason that's racist, I have a perfect example for it. We were getting ready to start a new soccer season. Our coach comes to us the day before. He says, we've got two kids from South Africa that are coming tomorrow. And obviously, what does the whole team think, right? We're going to get just like dudes from like the middle of Africa, like from Chad or Niger or something. That's exactly what you think. And it was so stereotypical. They come in, they're the palest white dudes I've ever seen because they're from South Africa and half of that country is white.
Right. And like, people
just don't
Africa think Africa is just such a big, like, we people in America, I feel like it's the one continent that we talk about like it's a country. We're like, Africa this, Africa that. Yeah. But it's like, okay, well, Egypt is technically in Africa. We have South Africa. We have all these different versions of life.
They have every major environment. They have every major environment.
Like, right. We act like Africa except is desert.
Except they might have Arctic. I'm not sure.
No, they probably don't.
But they talk about how, like, Africa's like the desert everywhere and there's no water. And I'm like, right. No, that's not true at all. There are a lot of places that are really tropical. Or
yeah, I was actually talking to somebody about this the other day because they were saying what you just said, how it's like a barren desert throughout the whole continent. And like, I said to him, like, you know that Africa has like cities and like technology and universities and like, hospitals
and green yeah. and tropical and, environments. And
they were literally like, nah, dude, they don't. I was like, you, this is the
it's
problem.
So narrow-minded. Oh my gosh, in high school we had this really racist teacher who was also really sexist, but beside the point. I really didn't like him, but he asked a Chinese foreign exchange student if they had cars in China.
Oh my god!
I was like,
of course they have cars.
I'm like, they make like farther ahead in technology than we are.
Yes, I'm like, they make like everything.
China, the Chinese steal our technology. That actually happens. They wait for us to invent something, and because they don't follow our copyright laws or anything, they don't care. They do not care, and they just go and they just literally rip off ideas and technology from us. Like, that has happened. There are Chinese companies that are completely built off of American ingenuity.
I believe that.
But right. there are also Chinese companies where they invent their own things.
I bet it's also flipped.
And their economy right now is growing at a faster rate than I believe any economy in the history of the world. I mean, it's pretty incredible what's happening in China with the economy right now. Do you know their concrete production right now emits as much CO2, almost as much CO2 as the United States itself? Like, just their concrete production.
Jeez.
Like, they are really pumping it out in terms of development. They're pumping out just everything. They're a huge country, a massive
And their
country.
Air quality is terrible because of it.
They've improved it, though. They've made some.
I mean, they have improved it, and especially when they had, like, the Olympics there. They had the Olympics a huge.
08.
Yeah, 08. They had a huge improvement because, like, they literally had like it was like this type of like moss and seaweed that was covering like all of the like waterways.
That was
for
Rio. Or did it happen in both? Because that happened in Rio.
Yeah, it happened in China. It was a different time, but they literally were paying citizens instead of going to work in the factories. They shut down a lot of factories to clean up the air quality, and they had those people cleaning the waterways so they could do things like kayaking. And, like, it was crazy, like, how much just having the Olympics there improved things. But, I mean, at the same time, they suffered a lot of, like, production losses because of it.
The Olympics aren't all good
great for other.
Especially not Rio.
You can make an argument right now that Xi Jinping, their president of China, president, whatever, dictator.
Right.
No, that really, really is what it is. I mean, he's a horrific guy when you look at some of his actions that he's done. Not that our leader's any better. But Xi Jinping, which they call him Winnie the Pooh, by the way, which is hilarious. Like, people that
That's
make fun
so
of him.
That's so adorable.
But, you know, they're censoring the internet, all that.
Winnie the Pooh.
You can make an argument that Xi Jinping is the most effective world leader in battling climate change in terms of tangible moves that the government has done in the history of our world so far. Because China will be in position to actually change climate change. Because we're getting to the place right now where we're so far behind in climate change that it will take dictator-like moves if we want to save the planet from getting to 5 degrees above where it was. So that like level where all the scientists have said it will be a different planet. We will be a different species. To stop us from getting to that, which right now we're on track to get to that in our lifetimes, all three of us at this table, it would take dictator-like moves. So that's why they're saying that although this guy in China is immensely powerful, is taking away rights from the citizens, censoring his citizens, killing them on occasion, and some seriously horrific things, he might be the world's greatest hope for climate change because us Americans, the French, the Germans, everybody, they're not doing enough. They don't care enough. We don't care enough as a society about this massive, massive, massive issue. And it's not like, I don't want people to go out and like, oh, you see him toss a plastic bottle in the trash can in the recycling bin. Yes, let's worry about that. And I definitely need to do better with that on my end. But that is not going to fix the problem. We've got to go as a full-on, governments have to change the world. And we just aren't doing enough. We don't care enough about it right now.
We also have the big problem of people that don't believe climate change is real. Like, that, I think, is a huge roadblock in fixing climate change, because there are people that their excuse to not fix anything about it is it's not real, it's not happening, when there's actually like hard evidence the climate is changing because of the way humans are acting. But people just want to ignore it. And that, like, they always say that, like, the first step to changing it, like, fixing a problem is acknowledging it. And not enough people are acknowledging it, that it's a real problem. And I feel like it's a huge trend in America, too, to not believe in climate change.
Because, like...
because they're, like, the Green Party's ridiculous. Well, but it's, like, they... it's actually true.
You talk to people, and you tell them to tell them the solutions, and they're, like, they're such... now they're if we would have started this in 2000 when Al Gore was running for president, we could have done really incremental changes that we wouldn't even notice as a society, right? And right. we would have been able to keep the temperatures, the planet's temperature down. That was possible. We could have done that. There's a bunch of studies that we definitely could have done that, but we sat on our hands, and now the changes that we would need to make will be dictator like And it's going to be scary for people when all of a sudden all the governments of the world look around and go, okay, we've got a real problem, real, real big problem that's about to be on our hands. What type of dictator-like, like war environment, it'll be a war against climate change. Like they'll be throwing people in jail. Like it'll be insane. That's how big the change will be because we decided to ignore the issue.
I mean, even if we get to the point where we are that determined to fix it, I mean, like, there's no guarantee that we're even gonna ever get to that point. We're just gonna slow the earth die.
They're looking into some really fantastical, like, technological solutions.
No, there is a lot. Pumping
carbon into space, like carbon capture, changing carbon.
I know, but it's we've had a lot of these ideas for a long time, and not a lot has happened.
No, you're right. So are we just screwed then? Like, is it just...
I mean...
are we just going to have to accept the fact that the world's just going to be warmer and that's the environment we live in? Because humans could technically live in that environment. We'll probably lose a lot of people.
Yeah, there. I mean, we were supposed to have, you know, like, a cap on, like, population. And we've already met it twice. The scientific cap on population with, like, the Earth continuing to provide for us and, like, our economies being able to support those. We have made adjustments to where we have gotten, like, a billion over the original, like, number. So I think we might continue just to do, like, what we're doing with population is Band-Aids, Band-Aids, Band-Aids. And then, yeah, one day it might blow up and it might be fixed, or it might just be, like, well, we didn't do what we were supposed to do, and now we're screwed.
Yeah, climate change isn't going to end the human race, but it's just going to change it fundamentally.
Yeah.
The power structure will change. One of the more interesting things is that there is an optimal temperature for economies to operate at. And since the world began in earnest, our history, essentially, the hot spots in terms of highest productivity, so that's like 60-something degrees, was the United States, China, Western Europe, right? The current economic powers of the world. That is the temperature at which people are most productive. That's the most variation in seasons. That's all that people need to be healthy is those temperatures. People get too hot, too sunny, like that they might not necessarily be so productive, right? If it's too cold, people find a struggle to be productive. So that zone of the planet is actually going to shift up if we continue on the path we are. So where Canada and Russia will be the two most productive economically countries in the world. So if you look at economic studies, the Russians and the Canadians have a lot to benefit from climate change. They won't have to they won't have any sea level changes. They might have some on their northern coast, but they won't really have anything that's affected for their people, and their economy will boom. So it's a really interesting and weird question, but it's going to kill a lot of people with these superstorms, with the rising floodwaters. It's going to displace a lot of people.
One, two, and then...
we're trying to figure out Mia's camera.
One, two.
Six, four, three, or whatever. Six. No, let me... it's like top row, bottom row.
I can't believe we're stopping the podcast for this right now.
Yeah, sorry about this. We're trying to get some cameras back up here.
Jared's just working on his own camera because he's just real high on vanity.
Right. I'm
Jared's like, hold on, stop the podcast. My camera's down. Everybody, Mia, what's your passcode? My camera's not working. If my camera would have broke, Jared would have sat here the entire podcast, not shown me, and then after the podcast been like, yo, sorry, bro, your camera like broke down. about halfway through it.
Hey, we had that happen once, and I think I had it back up within like 1 minute.
Speaking of time, where are we at on time?
We're doing great. We got probably like 10 minutes if you want it. 10-15 minutes.
Okay, how long have we gone?
We're at 40 right now.
40, okay. Wow. That's perfect. Wow.
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 Absolutely crazy stuff going on.
Well, why do you had fun today? So far on the podcast?
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about climate change anymore.
Yeah, I'm kind of over it.
That stuff stresses me out.
Yeah.
All right, something entertaining, something happy. What's something fun that's happened over your past 2-3 weeks?
Give us a fun story.
So
I'm back, guys. What's up?
That is a lot of pressure. I mean, Palmer was fun. But, you know.
Oh, yeah, the Fest. Let's talk about Fest.
Fest is an interesting culture. It's a very interesting
concept.
Okay, so
you're more of an outsider. You are as well, Jared. What was your first opinion of... This is your first year Fest.
Oh, yeah.
You haven't been through them all.
You're right.
So, like, from your first year of experiencing them, because they're pretty much done. You've got numbers, but that's numbers like half counts. Because you got to buy a ticket.
Yeah.
Your first Fest season, what was your opinion of it?
Well, I missed almost all the Fests. Like, I missed Mill, I missed High. I only went to Palmer. But I thought it was really cool. I mean, I had friends, like, that had places, like, in Palmer Place, which I think is a really, like, interesting concept. Like, I don't know. It was weird because I got there really early and then just seeing, like, the courtyard just fill
Place
with people.
Palmer Place is my favorite Fest, without a doubt.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then the next day, like, my friend had a house on Palmer. And it's really just crazy. Like, you see some, like, a lot of stuff. Like, yeah. I remember what Fest was that Mill that me, you, and Kaylee were in the car and we saw someone, like, get arrested. And then...
Yeah, I think it was Mill.
Yeah, and they were looking for my friend. But they got the wrong guy. Like, this woman police officer pins this dude up against the wall, and he's, like, screaming back at her. And then this male cop pushes her and was like, "That's the wrong guy," and, like, pointed that way. And then, like, four cops with flashlights just, like, go running. And then I get a text, like, an hour later. My sister's like, "Tyler's in the hospital." And I was like, "Oh, my gosh, what happened?" And she's like, "Well... like, he got drugged. Like, he really got drugged, like, at a bar. Like, he had one drink. Like, they tested, like, the alcohol levels in his blood. And it was, like, not even enough for someone his size to be tipsy. Like, it was insane. Like, he had one drink. And then they, like, ran it for, like, other, like, date rape drugs. And, like, one of them popped up. So he was drugged, but it made him, like, super aggressive. And he was, like, just running. And, like, he was, like, the Hulk is what all my friends said. He, like, fell down a cliff. Like... literally, so, like, he was all busted up. So then when the cops found him, he was covered in blood, and they just took him to the hospital. But yeah, it was crazy. Like,
some might categorize that as a bad day.
It was a terrible day for him. Poor him. It's, he had to get stitches, and O-bloodness, they are very incompetent. So, like, it looked like a 3-year-old had, like, sewn him together. Ooh, it was brutal. It was rough, but yeah, so that was my first experience with Fest. I didn't go, and then that happened with my friend.
You kind of saw the craziness.
Yeah, I saw the craziness.
What do you think of the jersey, Fad?
I mean, I don't think there's a problem with it. Like,
did you wear any jerseys?
I did not.
Damn shame.
I didn't. I wore overalls the first day, and then the second day, I wore, like, leggings and a crop top. I was very basic.
I wore my Growlers jersey for Mill.
Why would I be able to answer Mill. That question?
Mill.
I just Mill told Fest. You I didn't go to Mill.
I was just, like, looking around for somebody to find.
Think
an
about
answer.
It this way. Were you on Mill Street?
I was
because
off
that's
no,
where
you're
it
right.
is.
I was off, like, of Mill.
You know, just think about what
yeah,
street
location.
You were on.
I'm sorry. I've been coughing all week and my eyes are watering, like, just from the intense.
I just got, like, a chill.
He just, he's just getting emotional thinking about his last Fest.
Yeah,
season.
Just
and he's just like, Mill is just so fun. No, Mill is pretty fun. Like, Mill is like, Mill is just too crazy. Yeah, like, I have missed Mill before because it ended at 11:30. Like, the party's always going to
Yeah, go. Like, I think that's a little crazy, people. Too. It's a Saturday. And then, like, it kind of happens in waves. Like, it'll get shut down in the afternoon, and then by, like, 9 p.m., like, parties have started again. Or even, like, Palmer Place, like, it got shut down, like, the main thing. But, I mean, people are still having parties in their apartments, and, you know, it's just, like, it's very interesting. Well, like, my very first time ever going out, like, here to, like, houses, somebody was just like, oh, go to 82 Mill. And I was like, okay. And it's, like, one of the Fiji houses. And we went, and then my friends, they were drinking, because I was still wasn't drinking at that time. And they were, like, trying to finish their drinks. And I was just like, oh, can my friends go in? And, like, we went in, and then the party got shut down. And, like, we were just inside because, like, they didn't want to get caught with open container. And then we ended up, like, becoming close friends with them. And, like, the entire fall, like, that's where we'd, like, end up, like, almost every single night. Like, that house. Like, it was so weird that just, like, one night, one decision to be like, hey, can we come inside? Like, changed so much. And then I met a lot of Fiji boys. Like, it was weird. Like, just, like, one small thing, especially in, like, that environment, you don't realize, like, parties get you very connected with people. Like, you are meeting so many people that you wouldn't meet that aren't in your classes, that aren't in a study group. True. Like, it's the only time I feel like that a lot of the student body that would have never met meets, like, just because they're in a common area.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree with that.
You don't really meet at the bars either. That's usually too loud. You're usually with other people.
I don't know. Mia, I meet a lot of people.
Yeah, you do. But I'm saying most people. Jared. Like, it's when you meet somebody at the bars, like, it's I feel like it's a thing that doesn't happen to everybody all the time. Most people go with
groups.
I feel
like if you talk to somebody at the bars, especially as a guy talking to a girl, because, like, you never see dudes just going up to random dudes at a bar, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But, like, especially with guys, like, talking to people and, like, meeting new people, you meet a girl and the girl knows that there's pretty much one thing that you're, like, you know, you don't
just
go and talk to a girl at a bar. And, like, nothing, but nothing ever really comes of it.
I
so,
go to
like, you never talk to those people that you talk with in a bar.
See, like, what's crazy? When you have a conversation with a guy at a bar, you're like, oh, yeah, that guy that one night we had that good combo. Like,
right.
Because you know that this is not a permanent thing. When you go to a party, you know somebody in common there. You're like, okay, this person knows somebody that I know here, you're more willing in a social right. setting to try to learn their name, to try to engage with them socially
right.
than you are at a business like a bar. Like, you don't often
right.
go to El Toro.
Like, you don't
often go to a packed restaurant and try to meet the people.
Exactly. No, I mean, that's true, good, that's but I feel like even when I go to the bars, like, personally, like, that's where I've met a lot of my friends. That's where I get connected with a lot of people. Like, and it's also because I've always been, like, super comfortable with just, like, guy friends. So even if a guy does come up and starts talking to me and I feel like they want something, like, one thing, like, I'll, like, steer the conversation in another direction. And if they go with me in that direction, like, you continue talking to them and they can become
right.
your friend. But if they don't go with you and they're just, like, narrow-minded about it, you're just like, oh, well, like, they're kind of a dick.
That is fair. That is fair. Because I have talked to, I don't know, I don't really go to bars. I've been to the bars, like, a few times, but
that's for his mom.
No, that's straight up. That's straight up.
That's straight up. Like, I have not at all. Like,
no. Like, I think I honestly
I went,
can't
like, a
think
month.
Of the last time I went to a bar.
I went a month until
well, again,
last
like,
weekend.
Early, I am on. I am on in a hiatus.
Oh wait, not last weekend. The weekend before.
I am on a very long hiatus because I got close to 21, and there's just no reason. There's no reason to get caught. There's no. I would feel horrible if in this month I decided to go to the CI. And get
the
arrested.
CI.
And get arrested.
I have
and
a
now,
friend that was arrested at the CI.
See?
Shout out.
The CI is dangerous.
The CI, I like the CI.
Because
I just like know a lot of people
it's
there.
It's a nice place, but it's...
I mean,
that's
I don't know. It's
the
not the nicest.
People get busted at.
Yeah. They get...
Even more than Crystal. I would expect Crystal to get more than
yeah.
CI,
I just feel like Crystal has more people sneak in, and the CI just is looser with who they let in. And
that's
I think that's the biggest difference in terms of getting raided and having undercovers. And, like, people getting arrested. Or a lot of people, like... At the CI, it's, like, people, it's, like, different. Like, the culture's different. And I feel like people are more likely to be, like, get crazy, like, if that makes any sense. Like.
Yeah. No, it does.
That's terrifying.
Cool. It's,
No, no, it was just the big spoon over.
I know, but I was just like,
which might be a signal for us.
It might be. I think so.
Might be
to wrap up the podcast.
Yeah, we don't. I mean, if people are still listening at this point.
No, I mean they come in and waves.
No, I'm joking. You
know. Waves.
All right, we'll go ahead and get out of here. Mia, I really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You were a great guest, a great moron, truly honorable.
Wow. Thanks.
That's a high
esteem. Praise right
there. You were a great moron. You're great an intelligent moron.
Thanks.
All right, let's get out of here.
Yeah.